Welcome to Upsize Your Leadership, the podcast about enhancing your effectiveness wherever you lead, whatever your role. Yesterday, I had a three-hour discussion with the executive team of a fast-growing company. One of the things we focused on was the difference between being a good manager and being a genuine leader. Toward the end of the session, I shared seven things that managers should always remember about their people. Today, I'm sharing that list with you. Hello, everyone. My name is Mike Armour, president of Strategic Leadership Development International, which I founded in Dallas 25 years ago. I'm thrilled that you have joined us today. There's little doubt about the challenge of both managing and leading, that they are steadily becoming more complex. I could do several episodes on the factors contributing to this trend. One of the most prominent aspects of management today is that managers are increasingly expected to act not only as managers, but also as leaders. Unfortunately, many companies use the term management and leadership interchangeably, as though they are one and the same. This lulls many in management into the false perception that they are a leader simply because they are called a manager. Not necessarily. You can excel as a manager by being very effective in managing processes and procedures. You can only excel as a leader by developing and motivating people and bringing out their full potential. Yesterday, when I shared my list of seven things that managers should remember about their people, I led with an item that speaks to this very issue. In a few moments, I'm going to share that item with you, along with the other six on the list. So don't go away. I'll be back in just a moment.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.
As I said earlier, companies sometimes use the terms manager and leader interchangeably. But people don't necessarily see them as equivalents. Over the past quarter century, I've trained workers in more than 80 industries. With great regularity, I ask them to evaluate the people above them on the organization chart. I have them jot down those names, then make a notation beside each one indicating whether this individual is more of a leader or a manager. I've never had anyone who struggled to make that distinction. I should add that this is an early exercise in the training, happening before I've offered any observations of my own regarding the differences between management and leadership. Yet, based on their own sixth sense, people already identify some of their superiors in the organization as managers, others as leaders. Therefore, for the manager who mistakenly expects to be seen as a leader simply because he or she wears the title of manager, here is my first of seven things that managers should remember about their people. Specifically, people intuitively recognize the difference between someone who is a manager and someone who is genuinely a leader. Notice that I use the word intuitively. People simply have an innate sense of what it means to be managed and to be led. Managers may trick themselves, delude themselves, into thinking that they are a leader, but their people will not be drawn into the delusion. It's pointless, as a result, to maintain a pretense of being a leader. People will see through the pretense. If you want to be known as a leader, become a devoted disciple of what it takes to be one. Otherwise, avoid using that name for yourself. The second thing to remember about your people is that on the balance sheet, they show up only as liabilities, payrolls due, payments for benefits, Social Security, and Medicare obligations. Yet, your people are your most important asset. One of the great inadequacies of modern accounting is that it has no way of showing the dedication, capability, and skill sets of your people as an asset on a balance sheet. Yet, without their dedication, capability, and skill sets, the company would have only nominal value. Consider if this were different. What if accountants could give a dollar value to your workforce? What if that appeared on your balance sheet right alongside the value of your facilities and equipment? How would that change your perspective of your people? Now they would be shown right alongside your most expensive and mission-critical equipment. Consider the care and attention that you would give to a high-dollar piece of equipment like that. How much thought you would give to it. Are you regularly putting that much thought and giving that much attention to developing your own people, to providing a setting in which they can thrive? In a word, do your actions convey the clear impression that you view your people as your most important asset? The third thing to remember is that you need your people more than your people need you. The reason that you are a manager is because you have been entrusted with a function that is too demanding for one person alone to perform it. If you could do it alone, you would be a sole contributor, not a manager or team leader. Without your people, therefore, you cannot succeed. Your people, on the other hand, can carry out their role quite effectively with or without your presence. So, if a flu bug puts you in bed for a few days, unable to show up for work, your people can go right on with their duties. They can do what they are charged with doing. Now consider what happens if you show up at work one morning, but none of your people do. Without them, you cannot accomplish what is expected from the function that you oversee. Yes, your people need you. The truth is, you need them more. Which brings us to the fourth thing that managers must remember about their people. And this is a place where they do need you and cannot do for themselves what you are uniquely positioned to do. Namely, your people expect you to be their advocate and defender. I'm speaking here of defending them in the larger corporate context. One of the surest ways for people to lose respect for their manager is to learn that the manager does not have their back in conversations with higher management or with management peers. As part of the psychological contract between workers and managers, workers assume that in exchange for their loyalty to their manager, the manager will reciprocate by being their advocate. This means fighting for the resources that they need to do their job well. It means standing up to those who unfairly criticize or belittle their performance. It means never scapegoating them when a manager's performance is called into question. Defense and advocacy do not mean that a manager should shy away from holding his or her people accountable or subjecting them to appropriate criticism. But it does mean that workers expect their manager to be a buffer between themselves and anyone else, even a coworker, who treats them unfairly or inappropriately. The fifth thing that managers should remember about their people is that people need to know why even more than they need to know what, when, and how. At our core, we are creatures who need to make sense of things. Even as toddlers, children become astute at asking why. And all the way through life, we want to know the rationale for what we are asked to do. Why may be the most basic question in human experience. Because management is so concerned with processes and procedures, It's easy for managers to slip into a pattern of communicating frequently about what is to be done, how it is to be done, and deadlines for getting it done, without even touching on why it needs to be done. When we are given a job which has no meaning for us or whose purpose is unclear, it quickly degenerates into make work. It seems pointless. The result is demoralization. An engaging answer to why counteracts feelings that there is no worthwhile reason that workers are following a certain procedure or being held to difficult deadlines or production quotas. Why is a powerful motivating force. It speaks to the value that is being served by what workers are being asked to do. And ultimately, motivation is rooted in values. Or to put it another way, we are not motivated to do something which has no value for us. Motivation is more likely to remain high, therefore, when managers remember to give workers a compelling why for what they are asked to do. And speaking of values, the sixth thing that managers should remember is this: your people will disregard values which you espouse unless you clearly embody them yourself. This is an example of the management adage, model the way. No matter how forcefully or persuasively their manager promotes a given value, workers will take note of whether their manager's conduct suggests that he or she takes the value seriously. And taking it seriously goes beyond merely talking about it routinely and enforcing it consistently. Workers will also watch to see if the manager personally lives by that value. If not, workers may grudgingly comply, but only by doing just enough to meet the minimum required in order to be in compliance. On a related note, the seventh thing that managers need to remember is that their people will rarely hold themselves to a higher standard than the ones which they see the manager practice. Again, this is one of those model the way issues. One of the hottest topics in managerial and leadership circles today is accountability. In general, there's a sense that accountability has not been adequately emphasized and enforced. In the workplace, responsibility for enforcing accountability falls primarily on managers. Accountability always revolves around some standard. Thus, when workers are asked to account for failure to meet some standard, their knee-jerk reaction is to ask themselves whether the person holding them to account lives by the standard to which they are being made to answer. If not, the person calling for accountability suffers a blow to his or her credibility and integrity. The moral is that if you are going to insist on standards, and you should, be sure to live by them. Let me close then by reiterating these seven items once more. Good managers will never lose sight of them. Here again are seven things that managers should remember about their people. 1. People intuitively recognize the difference between someone who is a manager and someone who is genuinely a leader. 2. On the balance sheet, your people show up only as liabilities, but they are your most important asset. 3. You need your people more than your people need you. 4. Your people expect you to be their advocate and defender. 5. Your people need to know why, even more than they need to know what, when, and how. 6. Your people will disregard values which you espouse unless you clearly embody them yourself. And 7. In practice, your people will rarely hold themselves to a higher standard than the one which they see you practice. If you would like a copy of today's program, a PDF script is available at upsizeyourleadership.com/episodes. Simply find this program in the listing and click on the link to download the script. If you already subscribe to this podcast, let me offer a very pronounced thank you. And if you're not a subscriber, why not click on the subscribe link on the podcast player display so that you are notified immediately when a new episode is posted? And while you're there, think of someone who would enjoy hearing today's program. Use the share link on your player to pass it along to them. As always, thanks for joining us today. I look forward to our next visit. Until then, find some way every day to upsize your leadership.